let's just go to breakfast like we were going, and let's just deal with this when we get back. So that's what we did.
I'd like to call the Appropriations Committee meeting to order. It is 9:10 on September 30th. First item on the agenda is roll call.
Congresswoman Big Horse, Congressman Big Horse.
Here.
Congresswoman Edwards.
Present.
Congresswoman Stabler.
Present.
Congressman Walker.
Here.
Congresswoman Whitehorn.
Here.
Congressman Potts.
Next item on the agenda is prayer. Congressman Walker, will you please give us a prayer?
Dear Heavenly Father, I just want to thank you for this day. Lord, I just ask that you be with us today as we deliberate and make decisions for those that we serve, Lord. Lord, I pray for our youth and our elders and those that are in mourning, Lord. Please forgive us for our sins. All these things I ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you. Next item on the agenda is approval of minutes. I'd also like to welcome Treasurer Littleton here, Mr. Zahn, and Mr. Johnson from the executive branch. You all are welcome to join us here at the table if there's some empty seats down there.
Set up.
Congresswoman Whitehorn.
Page 5. Trying to follow what we did. We have a title 1994 is to the Attorney General and 1995 is to the Attorney General also. I'm just because I don't have my tracker here. Pardon me? Okay.
Congresswoman Whitehorn.
Also on page six at the top of the page where the vote counts, this motion was seconded and passed with two yeas and two nays. I don't think that's a passage.
Congresswoman Whitehorn.
Move to approve the committee minutes from September 27th as amended.
Motion to approve the minutes as amended. Is there a second?
Second.
Motion and a second. Any discussion? Seeing no discussion, all those in favor, please signify by saying yes.
Yes.
Any opposed? Seeing none, the minutes are approved. Next item on the agenda is ONCA 1977. Congressman Walker, you have the floor.
All right. Once again, ONCA 1977 is an act to provide an appropriation to the executive branch of the Osage Nation for fiscal year 2020 in the amount of $25,857,782 and to establish an alternate effective date. The sponsor is Congressman Potts. Congressman Potts.
I yield my time.
Congresswoman Good Fox.
Is this the latest stamped in, Megan? This is it.
I think so.
Make a motion for the committee to adopt the committee substitute for bill number ONCA 1977 stamped in at 12:47 p.m. on September 27th.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. Discussion. Congresswoman Edwards.
So, do the names in the sections track the budgets that were received earlier, or are these the support documentation that came on Friday?
I will ask executive to speak to that.
Anyone at the table?
I wasn't here when you all sent them with whatever it was that you requested, and then they came back with information, so I wasn't here to hear what exactly was.
Treasurer Littleton.
If I understand your question correctly, you're asking if the names on the documents matched. I know we did make one change after they were submitted. Minerals Council's space cost budget was listed as C395, and it's actually not. It's just their space cost and I think a couple other items in there. So, if you're concerned about the names, that's one that I know, but that's the way we've been carrying it in the accounting system, evidently, since day one. It just, nobody really even noticed it said that. So we're making that adjustment, and we've asked for feedback from the Minerals Council on, but we made the adjustment to Minerals Council's space cost budget or something, and then they said they'd maybe like to address how we name it, so in respect
to
them.
I this morning wrote amendments that took that C395, just took that out and called it Osage Minerals Council. That was the heading. So that was one of the things. But the other thing I wanted to know is, didn't it used to say WELA? Didn't we used to have a section that had WELA in here? WELA?
Mr. Zahn.
Yes, those were changed to Deposka Onkodapi, and each site is listed, and the immersion name was removed, and Deposka Onkodapi was added in its place.
And Wheela's name was removed, too.
Correct. It was changed to Deposka Onkodapi, Sky 2, Deposka Onkodapi, Hominy, Deposka Onkodapi,
Fairfax.
Congresswoman Stabler.
Just for my own clarification, I know, did we receive the RDC budgets last week? And how will they fit to the chair? How would that fit? Okay.
Congressman Potts.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I have several amendments to offer to the committee substitute.
Congresswoman Edwards.
So did the formula for indirect cost change in terms of the amounts that were charged on the budgets in the committee substitute? In other words, is everyone still charged the same indirect cost rate on all these budgets?
Treasurer Littleton.
IDC say the same, right? Yes.
And are all the budgets also charged the same average rate for the benefits?
Well, the
Mr. Zahn.
The answer to that would be yes, and then we took the percentage across the board of 80% budgeting instead of 100% for benefits.
And is that the same way it was before?
Which before are we talking about?
Before the committee substitute.
Negative.
Go ahead.
And so why did that happen? And if it could happen, why didn't it happen before the committee substitute?
I'll take a stab at that. I think our original submissions, we believe that we were under our outlay and we were good, so we didn't feel it was necessary to look at that. And then when we came back and we were given another number to get under, throughout all of the cuts, we looked into the benefits to see about how much we normally expend, and it was around late 70, 80%, so we made a decision to only budget 80% of benefits in order to realize some additional savings to get underneath the second number we were given.
Congresswoman Goodfox.
Well, we did that as well, didn't we?
No.
Congress didn't do that. I thought we made a cut there with an amendment. No?
You made a cut to wages. We didn't make a cut to benefits.
Okay. Well, benefits followed the wage cut.
Yeah.
Because it's figured.
No.
No.
Right, we could, did we do that? No, but did we do something similar?
Yeah.
Yes. I would just say that we, our number, there's a lot less of us. We budgeted and the actual amount, what we thought or we expect to spend. They could say the same thing, just from my perspective. Mr. Zahn.
This is also a thing that we did several years ago when we budgeted 70%. Of benefits. This has been done in the past.
Congresswoman Edwards.
So what Congress did was it knew the members that didn't take the benefits and it put the actual number that is paid out in wages, but we didn't reduce the benefits. We kept the benefits at the maximum for family instead of going back and calculating what actually the members take. So there's too much in our budget too, and I'm not questioning that we haven't done that before, but I think the impact is felt in the retained revenue then after the audit. Is that right?
Anyone care to address that?
Yes.
It will presumably be lower than it had been if we didn't do this exercise.
Okay. I'm pretty nuts and bolts here. You said, and it would be more. Can you repeat your question and give me specifics,
please? The retained revenue will be less than it would have been if we hadn't taken the exercise, which is reducing the benefits.
Yes.
Okay.
Okay. Congressman Potts.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Treasurer Littleton, I think you've already answered this, but I wanted to clarify. So when the benefits were reduced by that 20%, going from 100% to 80%, was there also a reduction of what's appropriated to the IDC pool by 20% of that 20% that was reduced?
Yes.
Okay. As a follow-up, thank you, Mr. Chair. Do you have calculations, just because I haven't been able to work with the budget analyst right now to be able to grab those, do you have calculations that our IDC pool is in balance?
Pardon me?
Do you have calculations that suggest our IDC pool is balanced or close?
We checked that when we were running through this. If we're off, it's probably based on the amount of time we had to put these numbers together. Have you checked it? I mean, if you found an error, let us know. But if you've checked it and found an error, I mean, we'll be glad to go back and...
To clarify, the reason I'm asking, I haven't had a chance to check that, so I don't know. But what I have noticed is we've tossed archives and the 50% of Office of the Chief salaries back in, which to me would suggest that you all had an eye on it, we're in balance, we're good to go, because that was almost $600,000 worth of expenditures that are now coming out of the IDC pool that weren't previously.
That's correct. There were some other changes. For instance, the Treasury budget, we changed the percentage. It used to be 45-55. Now, I think we took it to... I have to look at my notes. What was it?
85-15.
So we did make some changes like that, but again, we were looking at that bottom line number, trying to hit it. Five or six of us around the table at a time, brainstorming, can we do this? How does this affect things? Working till 2 o'clock at night. And so that's why I'm saying, if you found something, let me know. But yes, those are items that we did do trying to hit that number.
Congressman Potts, continue.
And that's my concern, because it's been stated at this table, we came in 300,000 under that number. I agree, but we've also tossed $600,000 of expenditures into the IDC pool. So I wanted to make sure that an eye was given to that, to make sure we didn't just do that to come in $300,000 under, because we're still spending that $600,000. It's just coming out of a different pocket of money. So I wanted to make sure somebody had an eye on the IDC pool.
Mr. Zahn?
Yes, sir. The answer to that is yes. The controller was watching that as we were moving money throughout the budget. She was tracking the IDC pool, and on Friday she said that we were good.
Congresswoman Whitehorn?
That was my question, and it was answered, but I'll be interested, if this is adopted, actually let our budget analyst show us that calculation, what she has entered in her spreadsheet, because that's always important, because we have really important programs operating out of that fund. We have our IT and human resources and accounting department, so it's important that we have the funds there through collections to service those important departments.
We're still in discussion regarding adopting the committee substitute. Any more discussion? Congresswoman Edwards.
There was an estimate of between 19 and 27 new positions that were in the original budget that we were working, or the original committee substitute that we were working off of last week. How many new positions do you estimate are in this committee substitute?
If I remember correctly, we took two out, but another adjustment we made in the new positions that we left in was realizing how much time it takes to hire someone. When you advertise, review the resumes, interview, give them 2 weeks at least. We did a 10-month out of 12-month calculation on their salary and their benefits, as opposed to a 12-month, realizing that we're not going to get anyone hired probably till 2 months from now if we start advertising tomorrow.
Mr. Johnson.
Yes, sir. The actual number of new positions, I believe, was 16. So what we've ended up with is 14 new positions. That's it.
Congresswoman Whitehorn.
So that being said, I know we're just looking at FY20 right now, but I try to look to the future in the things we do here at the table. So in 21, those positions will be fully funded as an annual appropriation, should they be filled in 20. So I think those are always things of consideration that the legislature should look at by its appropriation, what you're committing to for the following fiscal year. And I don't think we do enough of that at this table. So,
Mr. Johnson.
Yes, sir. To answer that question, there's we're approximately $300,000 below the target number, and the amount of salaries and fringe that those positions would incur is probably less than $60,000 total for 2 months. So we're still well within that. I mean, we could fund them at 100%, but it doesn't make any sense to do so. That's why we did it. It's not because there was a lack of funds. It was because why? We know we're not going to hire anybody for, I mean, we advertised for 30 days. So there's 30 days right there that this new position isn't going to get filled. Then, you know, you kind of figure in 2 weeks, hopefully, to conduct interviews and whatnot, and then 2 weeks for folks to be offered, and then give 2 weeks' notice on the other side. 60 days seemed like, you know, a normal thing to do.
Congresswoman Whitehorn.
And it is, in your capacity of director of operations, that is the prudent thing to do. But just for us at the table, because what we look at is not administrating like you do. We look at annual appropriations. So it's not meant to criticize. It's just meant to call to our mind that in 21 we'll be looking at a different amount, although you have already said that you didn't think that that was a significant amount. So thank you.
Yes, ma'am.
Any more discussion? Everybody clear on what we're voting on? I think that is a yes. All of those in favor of adopting the committee substitute, say yes.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
Any opposed, say no. Committee substitute is adopted. Congressman Potts.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I have an amendment to offer. Page 60. Line 2,764, insert section 64, section 65, 66, 67, 68, 69, 70, 71, 72, 73, 74, and 75.
Second.
Motion and a second. Discussion. Congresswoman Goodfox, then Congressman Potts.
I would ask for those on the committee that are making motions for an amendment to explain what their amendment does so that we can provide transparency to the people that are listening in and so that everyone can understand what they're going to be voting on.
Congressman Potts.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Had my hand up to explain. These sections are the IDC budgets that were submitted by the executive branch.
Congresswoman Edwards.
Is there a reason they weren't included in the committee substitute?
Mr. Zahn.
I didn't think that we appropriated IDC budgets, so I didn't add them.
Treasurer Littleton.
That was my understanding also.
Congressman Potts.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. All of our language includes authorization and appropriation. Currently, the funds would just be appropriated. This is the authorization to expend these funds. Mr. Chair.
Yes.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This amendment had already been offered to the previous committee substitute and had already been adopted by this committee.
Congresswoman Whitehorn.
The IDC budgets have always been included in the
executive branch budget. We have always had an authorization in there, to my knowledge and to my recollection. Although those funds don't weigh against your projected revenue, they still have to have an authorization to spend those regrouped funds, the way I see it, as well as space cost for tribal works, or if that's what we call it now.
Congressman Potts, then Congresswoman Edwards.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Has it been made clear what the amendment does?
Pardon me?
Has it been made clear what the amendment does?
I understand. I am interested in hearing debate or dialogue from the executive branch on their opinion of whether they should or should not be in accordance with the Budget Control Act. Congresswoman Edwards, or Mr. Johnson, I'm going to recognize you.
Yes, sir. That was our understanding from the last special session, that when the Fed money was taken out as far as appropriations, it was our understanding that IDC was, since it was a recovery, and those IDC dollars are already seen in the appropriation, that IDC budgets were not included as far as what we were to submit to this body. So that's why we didn't. It was still part of the support documentation available in the micro system, but it was not submitted as part of the budget.
Congresswoman Edwards, then Congressman Potts. If we're going to venture off into something else, then I want to talk to you.
Well, everybody knows that I dislike how we account for IDC anyway, but I mean, if it's not included as an appropriation, then how do we see what spending is going on in those tribal entities that receive both tribal and non-tribal funds?
Treasurer Littleton.
It's a very good question. When we reviewed 1950 ONCA 1957, we were under the understanding, or our interpretation of that was that all we had to submit was tribal dollars. So just to clarify, are you considering IDC tribal dollars?
Anyone? Congressman Potts.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. No, we're not stating that IDC funds are tribal funds. What is happening, though, is throughout 1977, we are appropriating these tribal dollars to the IDC pool. Those carry a tribal dollar connotation. Those still have to be appropriated to the IDC pool, which we're acknowledging is done through your submission of the budget, which Budget Control Act in 1957 requires you to do. Specifically, it requires you to submit the IDC recovery budgets to Congress. We are then turning around and authorizing the expenditure of those funds because they're appropriated here. And under a previous Attorney General's opinion, those funds have to be made legally available. So we're including the IDC budgets as you've submitted them to give you the authorization to spend those funds. Otherwise, you would have tribal dollars appropriated by these acts that you don't have the authority to spend. So we're including them in the Section 64 through whatever I just read. I don't know that number from memory. But we're including these sections that gives you the authorization to spend those funds. Included in those are the non-tribal dollars that are recovered from non-tribal monies that are spent, because we don't have the ability to separate non-tribal and tribal. So we've included the entire budget, and we're authorizing the expenditure of those funds.
Congresswoman Edwards.
Then I had some concern in that the amount of money that's included in the entity, an appropriation and authorization to the entities doesn't match the amount of money that is shown in, or maybe it does now, but it didn't in the past, I was worried that there would be money that's listed in the non-IDC tribal entities that's not authorized to be spent, and therefore there was going to be hundreds of thousands of dollars sitting somewhere that couldn't be spent because it wasn't authorized to be spent. So it makes sense. It makes more sense to me that now those entities that are funded through indirect costs balance the amount of money coming out, if I understand correctly, coming shown as coming out of the other tribal budgets. But I still think, and I lose this battle every year, that I don't like the way we do this anyway.
Treasurer Littleton, I mean, everybody keep in mind, we do have a motion on the floor to basically include the IDC budget into the committee substitute. I just, for one, want to hear from executive a compelling reason as to why not. Anyone? Treasurer Littleton.
I'll answer that question last. The first question I'd like to have is, Congressman Potts, you quoted an AG opinion. Do you have the number of that opinion?
I don't. Not handy.
Okay. Our original submission of the executive budget was tribal, and it did list indirect cost. Our support documents for that, which were submitted through the MICROI system, lets Congress see tribal, IDC, federal funds, every budget that the nation has for each department is in MICROI. So our original submission included all of these. Now, when we went back at this 12 o'clock hour trying to hit the second goalpost that was set before us, and we had it took a team effort to get to that number, and if there's a mathematical error, we'll be glad to correct it as soon as you let us know where it is. I mean, we're going to review these documents when we have a little time to take a breath and make sure. And if there's any, if we find anything, we'll be glad to come back to you and notify you of it and tell you that. Tell you what we found. Now, finally, Acting Chair Walker, to answer your question, we really felt like we submitted them before. They just weren't part of that executive budget, but if you're telling us they need to be part of that executive budget and we need to include that in our calculations, I think we're going to be at a different area. So my understanding, and I realize I don't understand a lot of things that you guys know without thinking, okay? But, we're not trying to hide anything. We're not pulling any smoke and mirrors. The numbers we give you are the best ones we have when we've got them. And if your rule, if there is a rule or a law in place that we need to include those documents in a different form, let us know what we need to do. I think that's your job, making rules, giving us the rules we have to live by, and if we have an opinion that differs, we'll go through the channels and let you know of that. So did that help you? Did I get close to what you wanted to find out?
I still don't know how I'm going to vote. Mr. Johnson? Thank you.
We can, Mr. Zahn and I conferred, and I don't see any big deal with adding the IDC into the amendment, I don't see that it changes really anything.
It doesn't.
Congresswoman Edwards.
My concern is that we have a constitutional mandate that we're open and transparent in our budgeting, and I'm not sure how the constituents of the nation are able to see those budgets if they're in an internal working computer system, whatever you want to call it, that is not a matter of public record.
Congressman Potts.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I've noticed a mistake on this, and I need to withdraw and restate. So withdrawing the motion, restating the motion to amend page 60, lines 2,764, insert section 64 through 75 with revenue reflected in restricted revenue.
Second.
Motion and a second. Discussion, Congressman Potts.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The previous amendment, as submitted, had this, it was non-tribal revenue. And after comments from the Treasurer that said this is non-tribal revenue, it's not. This number is better placed in restricted revenue. That's consistent with where we've appropriated in the past. So with this amendment, I've drawn lines on each page, on page section 64, 65, 66, 67, all the way through 75. That moves it to restricted revenue, which is where we've accounted for in the past. No numbers have changed.
Congresswoman Whitehorn.
I agree and ask the sponsor if he could read, don't hand those yet, if he could read the headings of you just said sections. Just read what it is for the record, please.
Congressman Potts.
Section 64 is IDC accounting. Section 65 is IDC administration. Section 66 is IDC archives. Section 67 is communications. Section 68 is IDC compliance. Section 69 is IDC emergency management. Section 70 is IDC grants. Section 71 is IDC human resources. Section 72 is IDC information technology. Section 73 is IDC information technology equipment. Section 67 is IDC office of the principal chief. And section 75 is IDC operations.
Thank you.
Congresswoman Edwards.
And the sources of those revenues are what?
They would be restricted.
I said, where do they come from?
Congressman Potts, I'm sorry.
Chair, these are recoveries from non-tribal and tribal funds.
And by recovery, you mean it's accounted for as being appropriated out of tribal revenue in the individual departments and then is being shown as revenue now defined as restricted revenue in the budgets that also have a match for federal monies.
Congressman Potts.
I don't know that I would refer to them as a match of federal monies. That's not
a
how we budget.
Recovery of federal money.
Yes.
Any more discussion, Congresswoman Whitehorn?
I'm just going to reiterate, these have always been in our annual appropriation bills. I believe that it has no effect. I know it has no effect on projected revenue because it's a recovery, but I think for the sake of transparency that the people ought to be able to see in the executive branch bill what dollars are allocated for spending for the departments that it funds. So I'm going to support the amendment.
Okay, we have 55 minutes to work on this bill in this emergency meeting. Congressman Potts.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I would also like to reiterate there is no impact to the bottom line of this bill.
Any more discussion? Is everybody clear on what we're voting on? Does anybody need the motion repeated? No? All those in favor say yes.
Yes.
Any opposed say no? Okay, the motion passes. Congressman Potts, then Congresswoman Edwards.
Mr. Chair, I have an amendment, page 41, section 44, Minerals Council C395. Throughout section 44, strike Minerals Council C395 and insert Minerals Council.
What page?
44. 41, sorry.
We have a motion.
Second.
And a second. Discussion. Congressman Potts.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The reason this was included as Minerals Council C395 is this is how it was submitted by the executive branch. Treasurer has since acknowledged that that is how it's been accounted for in the accounting department. That's how it was sent over by the executive branch, but we've received a submission that changes it to Minerals Council. This amendment changes it to be in conformity with how it was received by the executive branch.
Any more discussion? Congresswoman Edwards.
It's in essence the same amendment I was going to make. I was just going to add Osage Minerals Council, but that doesn't really, that's neither here nor there, so I'll support the amendment.
Any more discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor say yes.
Yes.
Any opposed, say no. Okay, that motion passes. Congressman Potts.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Page 58. Line 2674. Insert the following new section, Section 62, Wajaji Health Center, with the table attached.
Second.
Motion and a second. Discussion. Congressman Potts.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This amendment is very similar to what was just done with the IDC funds. This money is carried in restricted revenue and non-tribal revenue. Because these funding sources cannot be separated, they're included for the total of $16,228,086. Restricted revenue, by definition in Osage law, is tribal revenue. This also will not have a bottom line impact on our appropriated revenue, projected revenues at all, because it's maintained as restricted revenue. This is appropriating restricted revenue at the amount that was projected by the treasurer. So there will be no impact to the bottom line. It's simply including this because the law states that tribal revenue is what we appropriate. Restricted revenue is technically tribal revenue, so we have to include it.
Congresswoman Edwards.
So I guess, like in other instances, although this is a lot much larger number, if the mark of the restricted revenue is not met, then what happens in terms of spending? And that question is directed to the treasurer.
Treasurer Littleton.
We can't spend money we don't have. So the line of the expenditures would be decreased. But I will tell you that they have multi-years of dollars just sitting there that they haven't spent yet. So we try to do a first in, first out on that. So I might be wrong. I think there's 2017 money sitting out there that we've been spending.
Can I look at the amendment?
But we can't use it for any other source. So,
Congresswoman Stabler.
And just a response to that, of course, is that they're getting ready to build a new clinic. And a lot of that's what is going to go toward the new clinic because our third-party funds are allowable that way.
More discussion regarding inserting the Wajaji Health Center into the budget. Any discussion regarding that motion? Congresswoman Whitehorn.
Yes, I'm going to support the insertion of this into the executive branch bill. I just have a question that maybe for future budgeting purposes, those expenditures that come out of restricted revenue, I think could be set out in their own expenditures in the budget going forward. And I would support the administration look into doing so in upcoming fiscal years. But I'm going to support this amendment.
Congresswoman Edwards.
So for my edification, every budget in this committee substitute that has non-tribal and tribal and or restricted revenue in it, the funding source is broken out in the revenue section, but the spending source is still not broken out so that you can see what tribal monies are being dedicated to what and what non-tribal monies are being dedicated to what.
Congressman, anyone? Congressman Potts.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. That's correct.
Congresswoman Edwards.
And since I've been asking for this to happen for 12 years, what is keeping it from happening? If you know.
Does anyone know? Mr. Johnson.
See if I'm following the question correctly. We'll take Head Start as an example because it's easy. They have tribal money and they have federal money. And you're asking, how do we delineate between which dollar is a tribal dollar and which dollar is a federal dollar?
Yes. And spending.
When I spend it?
Yeah, you've delineated it already in your revenue, but not in your spending.
Well, when I go to the bank, I don't delineate whether or not the dollar I get out of it is from the Osage Nation, VA disability, or Army retirement, and I don't think that the bank can tell me which dollar that one is. So I don't know how to tell you.
When I go to the bank, I put some in my savings account and some in my checking account.
We're talking about the Wajaji Health Center amendment right now.
So all I'm asking is, are you telling me in your budgeting, you do not consider how you're spending the tribal dollars versus how you're spending the non-tribal dollars when you do that budgeting? So that's why you can't delineate what's non-tribal versus tribal?
Casey, go ahead.
Yes, sir. The rule is when a federal dollar and a tribal dollar is mixed, the tribal dollar takes on the characteristics of a federal dollar. So in essence, they're all federal dollars.
Treasurer Littleton.
Are you happy with that answer?
No.
Internally, the way I understand we work that in our department is when we need to spend money, we look first to see if that money qualifies as a federal expenditure. And if it does, we try to spend that federal dollar first, because a lot of that money has to be returned to the federal government if it's not spent. So we first look at what we can do under federal guidelines, okay? So we use federal dollars first, tribal dollars second, and hopefully we have money in the bank at the end.
Any more discussion regarding inserting the Wajaji Health Center into the budget? Congresswoman Edwards.
And given that, isn't there some way for you to present that to us to show that what that spending is, since you know that you're spending federal dollars first? It's a question for the next 20 years.
It is. Congresswoman Edwards, you and I have sat at this table I've sat with you at this table for 7 years. I honestly don't understand what your issue is right now. Help me understand.
I just would like to see the spending broke out between tribal and non-tribal dollars. Obviously, it's being done, and I'm really just trying to provide to our constituency the most transparent look, because they've been asking now for 3 weeks for us to show them how the federal dollars are being spent and how the federal dollars are coming in. And to my knowledge to date, as a Congress, we haven't done that. And I think it's important for us to do that. So I'm trying to figure out if we're ever going to be able to do that. But right now, I guess it's irrelevant right now.
Thank you for those comments. Congressman Bighorse.
Thank you. Mr. Treasurer, do you and your comptroller have the ability to query spending dollars tribal versus non-tribal if you were asked to do so within a program?
I'll have to get back with you on that. Congressman Bighorse, I know we issue for our financial statements within a department. We track the revenue, of course, federal and non-federal. I would think we also track those on the financials, but I'll have to delve into that and see. I know from what I remember about the financials, we don't have a office supply, tribal office supply, federal on those department financial statements that have both types of funding. We don't do that. If that's something that you're going to want to look at in the future, I guess we can, make those adjustments to our financial statements. I know we do track the different funds and going in, but I'm trying to remember how we code those in our system. But I think you just get one line item that says office supplies and not one that says federal and tribal office supplies. It sounds like, if that's something you want to do, we can probably do it, but it sounds like it might be cumbersome.
Mr. Chair.
We're down to 43 minutes. Just
real quick, I ask that question because I do believe that you have the ability to do that. But I think it would be a very daunting task to throw on the treasurer's office to ask that of you from every department. If we have a specific area that we're interested in, then I could see that, going into that area. But for me right now, I'm satisfied with the annual audit. Thank you, sir.
Any more discussion regarding the motion? Everybody clear on what we're voting on? It's Wajaji Hill Center. Any more discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor say yes.
Yes.
Yes. Any opposed say no. Okay, that motion passes. Still in discussion regarding ONCA 1977, the committee substitute. Are there any more amendments? Any more discussion? Congresswoman Edwards.
Is there a plan that goes along with the change from there being a Wajaji Early Learning Center and a school to all of the entities that were formerly Wajaji Early Learning Centers or NESTs becoming part of the school?
Mr. Johnson.
Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. All of those plans were submitted into MICROI in July 13th.
Congresswoman Edwards.
Well, if that's the case, why were they denoted separately before and now consolidated?
I don't know what you're looking at.
Mr. Zahn.
I believe the first committee sub had them mislabeled from what we submitted. It's my understanding. So we submitted, to my knowledge, the Deposca Onkodapi, and then in the 1977 original and the first committee sub, it was listed as immersion, and the same went with the early learning centers. They were renamed to WELA. But we have been referring to them for the last few years as the school as Deposca Onkodapi, and then each site.
Congresswoman Edwards.
Well, I did try to look up the earliest rendition of it, and they weren't labeled like they are now. And then secondly, when we looked at the organization chart that was given us by the school, they were labeled differently as well. They were labeled. So just trying to understand, but you're telling me I can go back to the July plan that was given for the school and I'll understand that this is all now one organization?
Treasurer Littleton.
We haven't incorporated all these changes that have been made from our original submission in the MICROI budgeting that was originally submitted. We will do that as soon as you pass and give us direction on the numbers. But each department had a plan in there that explained what the director had been doing, what they were, where they were going, and everything. Each one of those were attached in the microwave program. If you weren't able to get a copy of that, then you know we can provide it, or maybe your budget analyst can. But each budget we submitted had a plan, and even the federal budgets also had a plan attached. So.
Congresswoman Whitehorn.
Yes, I have an amendment to assert. Page 10, line 437, in salary and wages, strike 739,648 and insert 726,648. Page 10, line 48.5, in employee benefits, payroll tax line item, strike $231,674 and insert $239,794. Page 10, line 445, indirect cost line item, strike $208,478 and insert $200,000. I think I butchered those numbers. $207,493 and adjust totals, all totals accordingly.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Discussion.
Well, I also sit on the education committee, and can I hold it for a little while I talk about it? And part of our discussion there was that it was a short meeting that we never got to the bottom of is, it was a very good discussion, but it was said by the people in attendance at that meeting that the way we authorize our immersion school to continue on with each next grade level is by agreeing to the appropriation that they sent over that would include 2 months of the next year's grades teacher. So I'm asserting this amendment because I don't believe that that topic was totally fleshed out. I'm trying to, I'm looking at their program plan. They say nothing in this program plan that I can see, and I've just been looking over it since we've been in this meeting about continuing on with fourth grade for this school. We know several things were told to us at that meeting, one of which we've always prided ourselves in our student-to-teacher ratio, which the headmaster says is a 1-to-10 ratio with each person, each teacher having an aide, which really makes it be a 1-to-5 ratio. It was told to us that some of the students there still are needing outside tutoring from our education department because they aren't on skill level. It was also told to us that our new superintendent is going to start having the school keep grades. We know we are not accredited right now, and he is working toward accreditation, which I see. But also I think one of the main things that was very poignant to me in that conversation is that educationally that we lag behind somewhat. We've done a really good job in language. We've had our students here said the prayer for us in Osage. I'm very proud of that, very proud that we're following the guidance to keep our language alive and vital. I believe that if we go through and look at the record, we can see every year that there is a cost to the Osage people to collect another grade. So I'm asserting this amendment because I believe we have not had a complete conversation. And if by appropriation we are authorizing a new grade level to happen each year, if that's the only conversation we're going to have at the table about it at all, I'm proposing this amendment. So quite possibly between now and next academic year, those conversations will happen. But this body approves the continuation. We've heard at the table several figures that we're spending over $50,000 a year per student. The treasurer has thrown out a number to us that's somewhere in the $30,000 range per student. And I believe that academically, if we as a body and as a nation are taking on the academics of these young children, that we need to be completely clear what we're doing, what type of academics we're offering our children. And I don't believe that conversation has been had. At least, I don't believe I thoroughly understand it. I don't believe that the parents who send their children to our school thoroughly understand it, because there was much discussion both days of that meeting with the parents, and I don't see a clear plan or clear direction. So that's my amendment I'm asserting, and I'm doing so just because I believe we need to talk about this more and really look at what we're doing by our appropriations here at this table.
Mr. Johnson.
Yes, sir. So I can't see what you're talking about. So to be clear, what your amendment is doing is taking out the fourth grade teacher.
$13,000.
So essentially, we brought down a budget that's $300,000 below the number that was given us. And now this body, by this amendment, is going to manage the budget as opposed to appropriate it, when the superintendent of the school came to me and told me that the only position that to reduce from his budget was the pedagogy specialist, not a fourth grade teacher. So that's a decision being made here, not by the director, not by myself, and not by the chief. The plan is to have a graduating class in 2029 of Osage kids. So it's been well known that we're going to go up a grade every year. Now, I was not part of your discussion with whomever you were talking to, but I have talked to the superintendent, because the superintendent works under me. And again, the only position he said that he could do without was a pedagogy specialist. That's it. And so we removed it. And once again, we brought down a budget that goes under the second number we were given by $300,000. And now we're going to start reducing positions in this body.
Congresswoman Whitehorn, we have 30 minutes left.
I understand. Mr. Johnson, the only thing I can do is decide the correct level of appropriation that's being requested. And I have to do that based on the documents, the support documents given, and the conversations that we have in committee meetings. And because it's not written here, the 2029 that you actually, the 2029 date, nowhere do I see it in this plan. Nowhere do I see fourth grade in this plan. What we were told in the committee meeting is by our accepting the budget and appropriating as submitted, that we sanction the continuation of consecutive grades to follow annually. Based on that information that I have, since none of it's in writing, I'm not managing your budget. I suppose if I cut $14,000 out of that budget, the administration has every ability to work that line to accommodate that. This is a talking point, and I believe that we need to discuss more than just during the budgetary session when you request an appropriation of how we're progressing in the education of our children, because it is a constitutional mandate that both branches of governments are responsible for. So I think that your take on what I'm doing is as managing a budget, that's not true. That's up to the treasurer. I'm looking at levels of appropriation and operating on what has been told to me verbally in a committee meeting because I can't find it on paper.
Congressman Potts.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And some of my comments will echo that. But I have a question for Director Johnson. Is the legislative process of adopting an amendment and appropriating an amount of money considered by the executive branch management?
Mr. Johnson.
I can't hear Mr. Potts real well.
Okay. Sorry, Mr. Johnson. Is it the position of the executive branch that if we offer an amendment and appropriate an amount of money, that is, if it varies at all from what you've submitted, is that management?
This is my opinion. Sorry.
Go ahead.
My opinion is that the Congresswoman said, I am taking this money out of this line item because we don't essentially need a fourth grade teacher. That's managing the budget to me. Telling me and the superintendent that I don't see a fourth grade teacher in the plan, which you wouldn't, because that's only 3 months for a fourth grade teacher. The plan is for 2020. Fourth grade won't be until 2021. The reason it's only $13,000 is so we can hire a fourth grade teacher before the school year starts. So it's only a partial funding of a salary. So the fourth grade wouldn't be in the plan until next July. That's where you'll see a fourth grade.
Congressman Potts.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So it is in your opinion that if this body makes an amendment to a bill that varies at all from what was submitted by the executive branch, that is us managing the executive branch budget.
Mr. Johnson.
That's not my opinion. My opinion was based on what was said at this table.
Congressman Bighorse.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I agree with the executive. We have thrown numbers at them, and we have made them come in underneath a certain number. They've done it twice. I understand the rationale behind wanting to cut this budget, but I've also had a conversation with Mr. Martin, and I understand that we haven't had enough conversation at this table with him, but he is brand new, and moving forward, I look forward to those conversations. But in my humble opinion, this education process, if we cut this money out of here, there's children up there that are going to need help to pass this third grade reading test, and I'm afraid that if we get into their funding and cut their funding, that they're not going to have monies up there to complete that part of the education process.
Congressman Potts.
I guess I'd just kind of like to go back and reiterate. A budget was submitted by the executive branch. Is it the opinion of the directors sent here to represent the executive branch that this body can make no changes to that? And specifically to Director Johnson.
Treasurer Littleton.
Does anyone not think this is silly? I mean, I know you're doing serious work. I understand, and I'm hearing your passion, okay? And I know you have an obligation to a lot of people. But there's only one way, excuse me, there's two ways to cut a salary line. There's two ways. You decrease the dollars people are paid, or you decrease the number of people. I think the explanation at this table was that if you pass this amendment, you've decreased the number of people. That's the only two parts of this equation. Now, I don't know how many minutes you have left, acting chair, but the truth is, you've given us a goal line twice, and we've hit it. And now you've lengthened the chains from 10 yards to 11 yards, and then you lengthened it to 12 yards. And if that's being transparent, then I'm missing something here. I really am. We have submitted documents twice based on the directives you've given us. And now you've decided, and I'm not taking this personal, okay? I don't do that. This is business. But now you've decided that the numbers you gave us were not the right numbers. And you've decided that you know how a program should be run, and it's not the way the director, the superintendent, the chief executive officer of this nation has determined that it ought to be ran. So from that, I will say this. We've submitted our budgets, and we're done. We're not going back, okay? Anything you pass, we'll have to live with. But I will tell you this, it's not my decision on the next step, okay? I've done what you've asked. People's worked late. I won't take up any more time. We've submitted what we think needs to be done for the nation. And whatever you guys do with it, that's your business, okay?
Okay, everybody, I've got Congressman Potts, Congresswoman Edwards, Congresswoman Stabler, Casey Johnson. We are on an amendment to reduce salaries and wages by $13,000 and increase employee benefits, payroll taxes by $8,000 and decrease indirect cost by $1,000. We are spending a lot of conversation about this. Congresswoman Whitehorn, I'm going to go ahead and acknowledge you because you are the movement, but we need to vote on this and move on.
Thank you. We've done what I want to do. I want to discuss this. Everybody's going to have to vote their own conscience on the amendment. It does not inhibit or prohibit this, our school, from doing its current mandate that you can find in this program report. It's not going to inhibit reading tests. It's not going to inhibit the ability to have tutoring. All that it does is take out $13,000 of an unfilled position that we hear is not going to be filled until August and September of 2020. I believe it was worthy of conversation. I think we all know, sitting here at this table, that it's key to what some of the issues are here with this budgetary session and the ability to have the revenue to cover all the needs of our people, including their benefits, including earnings for our employees, and and I just wanted to talk about it. So if you're ready to call for a vote, unless somebody else just really wants to speak to it, I've accomplished what I wanted to do, and that's to talk about it. Thank you.
We're going to vote. Roll call vote, please.
Congressman Big Horse?
No.
Congresswoman Edwards?
Yes.
Congresswoman Stabler?
No.
Congressman Potts?
Yes.
Congresswoman Whitehorn?
Yes.
Congressman Walker?
No. Motion fails. Anyone have any more amendments to propose? If not, then we're on the doorstep. Any more discussion or amendments to be proposed to the committee substitute for ONCA 1977? Congresswoman Whitehorn.
I was going to ask, I'm going to put our budget analyst on the spot and see if she has the ability to, before we vote, to see how the IDC cost pool balances within this bill. I don't think we need to do it here at the table, but before we cast a final vote, we need to see that we're good. That's important to me.
Congressman Potts.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And to speak on that issue specifically, there is one budget from an IDC recovery that needs to be included still. I believe Trey is working on that amendment. I don't have it just yet, so I'm comfortable with the floor amendment, as long as this committee knows that that's the one thing that I know of that's missing.
Congresswoman Whitehorn.
I would prefer to put it in during committee, so.
Okay. Motion to recess.
This is a huge bill, and as many times as you have to amend it, everything has to change throughout the bill, so the pagination and stuff. So I'd prefer to put it in committee and have that amendment done.
My comments to that would be we have 20 minutes left, and I think the work could be more, it would be more efficient for that work to be done over the next 2.5 to 3 hours versus in the next less than 20 minutes. There's a motion on the floor to recess. Is
withdraw
there a
my
second?
Motion.
I made the motion
to recess.
Pardon me?
I made the motion to recess.
Okay.
Withdraw.
Is there a second? Withdraw. Okay, we're in discussion still. Congressman Potts.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'd like to make an amendment. Page 60, line 2764, insert the following new section. Section 76, IDC, Office of Strategic Planning.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. We're in discussion. Congressman Potts.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I got with the budget analyst immediately after I made the previous amendment. This is one that was missing. It's simply including it in line with the previous amendments.
Any more discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor say yes.
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 Any opposed, say no. Okay, that motion passes. Congresswoman Edwards.
So with respect to the law, the Budget Control Act, and the law regarding federal budgets, is it the position of the chair that the Congress does not need to authorize the spending of the federal funds contained in the federal budgets?
Congressman Potts.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I believe ONCA 1957 authorizes the expenditures of those funds.
And as a result, it would not be proper to include the federal budgets in this bill just for the purposes of reauthorizing the spending so that those numbers would be a matter of public record.
Congressman Potts.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I don't believe that that's necessary.
How is the public to see the federal budgets of the nation? How's that supposed to happen?
Congressman Potts.
Mr. Chair, I believe those budgets, were, as stated by the Treasurer, they were submitted. They are congressional documents.
Is there any vehicle that we have right now for those to be able to be seen in public by the constituency of our nation?
Mr. Chair, I believe we're on the discussion of the bill.
Well, I was going to propose an amendment. If he could tell me that there is a way for the constituency to see those numbers, then I probably wouldn't need to propose an amendment, but I'm just trying to find out, how does the constituency of the nation see the federal spending that's authorized by the Budget Control Act for this year?
Congresswoman Goodfox, you had your hand up earlier. You are the one that brought this committee substitute. I think we're getting close to closing remarks. If you want to be.
I was going to speak to the amendment. So I don't have anything.
Anybody can answer that question for me.
Can you answer it?
No, because I don't know that it exists.
Okay, well, you can.
But somebody else may have a different idea than I do.
Congresswoman Stabler.
The only thing I can think of right now is it's a public document. Anybody can, an individual could request it. We don't have any other vehicle in place.
Any more discussion? Any more amendments?
Motion to report out ONCA 1977 to Congress with the due pass for the committee substitute as amended.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Any more? Any discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor say yes.
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
Any opposed say no.
No.
One no. Motion passes. Congressman Potts.
Mr. Chair, I'd like to make a motion to direct the second speaker to publish support documentation for fiscal year 2020 on the congressional website by no later than October 15th, 2019.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. We're in discussion. Congressman Potts, then Congresswoman Stabler.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The reason for naming the second speaker, you're the chief personnel officer, you're in charge of congressional staff. It's going to take their input, their assistance. So that's the only reason it charges the second speaker. Be happy to submit that with Chair of Appropriations if you feel necessary, or even the speaker. But as Chief Personnel Officer, it's going to take some coordinated effort, so that's why I name you. The other reasoning is the support documentation has been reviewed in our public meetings. They are public documents. I agree with Congresswoman Edwards that there needs to be some avenue for the public to view them.
Congresswoman Stabler.
That was going to be my question, was the clarification as to you were including this support page for each program, the totals support page for each program.
Yes.
So one document per program.
Essentially, yes.
Okay. Congresswoman Edwards.
I amend that to include the plans. I mean, the support documentation is more than just one.
Amend. Motion dies for lack of a second. Congressman Potts.
Can withdraw and restate to direct the second speaker to publish support documentation and program plans for fiscal year 2020 on the congressional website by no later than October 15th, 2019.
Second.
Motion and a second. Discussion. Congresswoman Whitehorn.
Well, I think the support document is more than one page, so I don't know if that made that cloudy to you, but I think that the full support document needs to be published.
I think you said one document per page.
Yes, the total page.
Okay, so the support documentation is defined in Osage law. It will be the support documentation submitted by the executive branch, however many pages that is, for each page in the appropriation.
That was my assumption.
Is that a capital S and a capital D in the motion?
Guys, really? Congresswoman Whitehorn.
Do you have a secondary motion? No? So that doesn't include federal budgets.
Treasurer Littleton.
I'm sorry I missed the date that you're requiring that to be posted, but if you're including the documents that we have in the Microy system, please give us time to make the adjustments to those that are passed through a final bill. So those are... Microy still shows what we submitted, even with this committee substitute. But if there's other changes that we Any changes that were made since we did that will not be included until we can get them in the system.
October 15th was the date. Is okay. That within reason?
That sounds reasonable, but...
Thank you. Congresswoman Edwards.
I anticipated that that was going to be all support documentation, and that meant from the beginning with the changes.
Congressman Potts.
Withdraw and restate one more time. To direct the second speaker to publish the support documentation and program plans for fiscal year 2020 for all revenue sources on the congressional website by no later than October 15th, 2019.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Discussion. Congresswoman Edwards.
So that will be what was submitted, anything that was refined, and then what's going to be submitted apparently in the future. Does that the equate with all? That's my question.
All those in favor say yes.
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 Any opposed say no. Motion passes. Okay. That brings us to adjournment. Well, that actually brings us to the appropriated revenue report. Chairman Potts, I'll relinquish the chair to you.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'd like to turn the floor over to Budget Analyst Sneed. Quick snapshot of where we are with all the amendments that have been made today.
Okay, thank you. Let me get this pulled up. I was having to work on a few other things during the meeting, so if there were any changes that were made that I missed, let me know. Okay, here is the appropriated revenue worksheet. We are sitting currently in the green at $666,399. Do you all have any questions? There hasn't been a lot of changes since this committee sub. We've moved over these two pieces of legislation from the legislative requests so that you guys could see it all on one screen. This does reflect the changes with the judicial branch and the attorney general and the merit for 1996.
Sorry, Congresswoman Whitehorn.
Move to adopt the appropriated revenue report as reviewed September 30th, 2019, and distribute it to Congress.
Second.
I have an amendment to publish the projected revenue report on the legislative website.
Are we being requested to write these?
Yes. Okay.
Oh. Thank you, Chair Potts. I was just going to request an updated copy, but if you're going to publish it, we'll see it. So, thank you.
Microphone, please.
I can include that.
Please do.
Congresswoman Whitehorn, please withdraw and restate.
19 and to distribute to Congress post on congressional.
I think it's called Legislative Branch, but it might be.
Legislative Branch website.
I'm sure either wouldn't work.
Words have meaning.
Okay, I'm going to withdraw and restate. Move to adopt the appropriated revenue report dated 9/30/19 and distribute to Congress and post on the legislative branch website.
Second.
Motion is second. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all of those in favor, please signify by saying yes.
Yes.
Any opposed? Seeing none. Motion passes. Chair will entertain a motion to adjourn.
So move. Second.
Motion and a second. Any discussion? Seeing none, we are adjourned.
Clarify. I know they're saying we came in 300,000 under. We have 666,000. If you factor in archives and what they shifted to props the principal church, it's the only way they're under. You have $11,972 put over there. They did.